monthly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapley Grillion. This week, I went to Anaheim and hung out with Eddie Garcia from the Puck Podcast. We met for a quick skate, passed the puck around, and then we sat down to talk about the LA Kings, hockey jerseys, and what it's like to be a California hockey fan. This is The Rink. It's actually nice to finally meet face-to-face Eddie Garcia of the Puck Podcast. Eddie, thank you. Thanks for meeting me to play hockey today.
Thank you. It was kind of your idea, actually. I have to give you credit for asking or letting me know you were in town to go to the Ducks Maple Leafs game. And
I think the only credit that I really get is embarrassing myself out in front of you on my skates.
You know what? You fit right in with my hockey team and my league. I would say
that your skating is very Orr-esque. Well, I mean Colton Orr.
Yes. Well, even then, I would take that as a compliment. Trust me. But it's fun. Love getting out on the ice. Love skating. Love just passing the puck around. Something as basic as that is fun.
So. And we're like 2 miles from the Honda Center where the Anaheim Ducks play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the greatest ice in the world, but you know.
Well, it's a local rink, so
yeah. And you know, it really wasn't bad. I mean, you live here. I mean, you live in California. You skate. You play. What level league would you say?
It's never
going to happen, obviously, but it's...
I play in a level lower than I should because when I moved, I got married recently and I moved to Orange County and I met a fellow Puck Podcast listener who said, hey, if you need a team to play on, I'm on a team. And I did need a team to play on because I had just moved. Mm-hmm. And so I joined his team and it's, as you probably know from playing, just... When you find a great group of guys and women, we have women on the team as well, that you love playing with, and they have great attitudes, they just love the game, they're not concerned about scoring or winning, it's just let's go have a good time. When you get around people like that, you want to stay with them. And so somebody asked me about, hey, do you want to move up to another level? And I was like, you know what? If you want me to, I will, but I kind of really like this group. So if I can stick with them, I'll stay with them. Yeah. And we're not very good. And we have people who are just total beginners learning to skate, but it's fun. I'm not out there. I mean, I like to win, but you know, I'm not out there to score 50 goals or anything ridiculous like that. So it's just meeting great people and having fun. That's what it's all about. So.
Yeah. And how would you say the hockey culture is out here right now? There's a lot of, I think that people don't realize how much there really is around. There's there's minor leagues. There's obviously the two NHL teams here. A couple of big online hockey distributors are from out here: Hockey Monkey and Hockey Giant.
Yeah, one's right down the street, actually. Yeah.
How would you say the hockey culture is here?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have anything to compare it to because I'm. I was born in Hawaii. My dad was in the military. And then when I was very young, I moved to California. I've been here ever since. So I'm sure the hockey culture in Minnesota or Boston or wherever is pretty, pretty amazing. But I think it's good. I think it's got a great core. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it seems like you're either a hardcore hockey fan or you're not into it at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be too many casual hockey fans. I think people enjoy going to the games just as an event, you know, but I don't know that they could tell you more than a couple of players, you know, things like that. So you either have people who they not only know the team, they know the team's minor league stars and all and their assistant coaches and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got people who are just kind of go to the game to have fun. But I do think there's a solid core group. I think it's getting better because California does have, obviously has a large population, but it really has a lot of young, really young, good athletes. And they're starting to get into hockey. You're starting to see some guys like Jonathan Blum, who's right from around this area, number one draft pick of Nashville, you know, and he's a guy who's probably going to make his NHL debut, if not this year, next year. I don't think he's with the team right now, but it's not uncommon if you look at major college programs or upper division juniors teams to see a couple of California kids on there. So it's growing, and then, you know, once you get young kids involved, their parents become hockey fans. They're, you know, so it's definitely growing. So that's nice to see.
And you've got, I mean, the LA Kings to me seem like one of the most fan-friendly teams out there. I think we talked about this before when you were previously on the Puck or on the Rink podcast. that, you know, that's a team that really tries to involve people into the team, that rather than just here's our, you know, four sodas and four tickets promo. They like to throw parties. They like to get fans involved with the game. They like to get fans involved with the team. You know, have you seen that kind of growth or help grow the team fan base more here in California?
Well, they're owned by a group called AEG, which is, I think, the Anschutz Entertainment Group or something like that. And I think they're actually based out of Colorado. They're known more for, you know, concerts and promoting. And they were promoting the Michael Jackson concert. But that's kind of what they're known for. And I think a lot of people in the beginning didn't really care for that because they weren't hockey people. And they didn't endear themselves to fans early on. They seemed very faceless organization. They didn't seem like they were, you know, it seemed like the Kings were more of just an investment than an actual, you know, something they wanted to really get involved in. To their credit, they've done a much better job recently. They have opened up the Nokia Center, which is right across the street from Staples Center now. And they've turned that whole area into a big entertainment experience. And it's helped out make the Kings more of, kind of going to a Kings game is more of an event now as well. And that goes kind of hand in hand with putting on concerts in connection with the team. And they had a huge fan fest for the first time this year. And that was in connection with that as well. So I think that relationship now, I think we're starting to see is benefiting the Kings. And they are doing a lot of fun things. It's taken a little while, but they are really, as you mentioned, getting into doing a lot of real fan-friendly things. In addition, with the Kings and concerts and fan fests and all those types of things. So I think, they're definitely moving in the right direction with that.
And I think the best thing that they've done for a while is they've actually hired a real, true ambassador of the game in Luke Robitaille. That guy seems to really want to promote the game and do it well, rather than, you know, you hire a former player and kind of give him an office job and then they kind of sit there. I mean, Robitaille really seems involved with the team and the business side of the team and the promotion side of the team.
He kind of has his hand in everything. Doug, my partner Doug, likes to make fun of him, saying he says, hey, we've got Cherry Coke in the concession stands now, everybody, you know, or something. You know, that's his big contribution. But you know what? I don't know anyone who dislikes him. He's just a guy that he's just extremely likable, very friendly. Down-to-earth guy, going into the Hall of Fame this year, and I guarantee you, if you saw him on the street, he'd talk to you. And, you know, of course, that you could say that about a lot of hockey players, I suppose. But no, he's no dummy, that's for sure. He's certainly, I think, learning about the business side of hockey while also being, like you said, that ambassador type of a guy that everyone really loves, and he loves being in the community. He's very much into a lot of charities, and he's a very charitable guy. And so, I think he is definitely a real asset to the Kings, because you've got, you know, Dean Lombardi, and he's into the hockey and building the team. He's not going to be out there shaking hands and kissing babies and all that kind of stuff.
No, but he actually does kind of get involved a little bit too. I remember there was a conference call with the fans they had, and people could call in and listen in and even ask questions, screen questions, of course, but still ask questions of the team. And I really hadn't seen something like that.
Yeah, he does care. He does a lot of interviews and tries to be as accessible to the media, who and then can be, you know, the conduit, I guess you would, to the fans, about letting them know what's going on with the team and stuff like that. But I don't know that he really enjoys being out there and putting on a smile and, I think
he'd rather be a hockey guy.
Yeah. Luke does. He's good at that. And I think he enjoys it as well. So yeah, he's done a good job, and he's just a great guy to be kind of the face of the organization. And like I said, when that group took over, they were like this, just a faceless conglomerate. We didn't even know who the owner was. I still don't know what the guy looks like. I know Tim Lywicki, and he's a guy who has, anyway. But no, Luke is now, there's a kind of a face that we all associate with, and there's not many people who dislike him. So it's good.
This is obviously a good time right now to be an LA Kings fan. I mean, they're on a tear right now. Some exciting players. Ryan Smith is actually playing well. I you know, of course, I'm a little bitter. I'm a little bitter, right. but not that bitter. He's worked out pretty well.
He has. And as a matter of fact, I had an Avalanche fan send me a message. It was an email or a message on Facebook saying, "We love Kyle Quincy. How is Ryan Smith working out for you?" And I said, "You know what? Great,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having a trade that helps both teams. You know, yeah. Matter of fact, that's great. You know, you make a deal to help your team, and if the other team improves too, hey, why not? Maybe it helps the two teams, the two organizations, do business in the future. You know, if you have a deal that's goes south on you, you may not want to deal with that team in the future. But no, Ryan's been great. You know, and as you know, health. As long as he stays healthy, you know, he can contribute and." Hopefully he can continue to stay healthy, but he really brings to the Kings a presence they haven't really had as far as a guy who will get his nose dirty around the net. And I think he helps to free up Anže Kopitar a lot. They're playing together on the top line, and he kind of takes all the punishment and frees up Kopitar to kind of roam and get open. And also the leadership, you know, qualities. The Kings are a young team, and they can use a couple of good veteran guys that you know, the players really respect, and they don't have to say much. They just watch their example and how they carry themselves. And I think, you know, Ryan Smith, he's just a pro.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of rubs off on a lot of the players, and they've said as much so far. So I've enjoyed having him on the team. It's, you know, only the first month of the season, but he's played really well and fit in well quickly. You can see the chemistry on the top line. So just hopefully he'll stay healthy, and you're right. It's a fun time to be a Kings fan, and we haven't been able to say that for a while. So I'm enjoying it as much as I can right now.
Yeah, I think it's fun also because of their going to hockey jerseys, which you and I are both fans of hockey jerseys. They have their new third jersey, which kind of reminds me of the Oakland Raiders a little bit. They're all black, and that has to be. I bet those are selling like hotcakes right now.
You know what? It's funny. I didn't really care for them at first, and they are. You're right. They are selling like hotcakes, as most new things do. But it has grown on me, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to get me one of those now. but it's funny. There was a thing on ESPN recently about the Wayne Gretzky trade. It was a documentary that was made about it. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Luke Robitaille, actually, was talking about how Bruce McNall had just become the owner of the Kings. And he said, I'm going to get Wayne Gretzky, and at the news conference, he's going to wear our new black and gold jersey. So not only was it obviously a huge coup getting the greatest player in the game, but oh, by the way, we're going to market our new jerseys with Wayne Gretzky wearing it at the press conference. And don't think they don't think about things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And those jerseys, of course, sold like hotcakes. And that's one of my favorite jerseys, the old black and gold jersey that I have. So, yeah, I've got to get me one of those. Got to spend more money on jerseys. I've already, you know, I don't rival your jersey collection, but I've got about 20 or so jerseys, and yeah, I think I'm going to have to get me one of those.
I'm only in the mid-60s, but I'm
only okay.
Yeah, there are people out there with many, many more jerseys than I do. Yeah, yeah. But
as we talked about it, there is a passion.
Yeah.
A lot of people love collecting the hockey jerseys, and I don't do that with any other sport. I have jerseys of my favorite football, baseball teams, and you know my college that I went to. I have a jersey, but the hockey is the only sport where I have jerseys from all bunch of different teams, you know. So it's, I don't know. I just, there's something about them. They're just fun to wear, and I enjoy wearing them, collecting them too.
You mentioned Anže Kopitar playing with Ryan Smith right now. He had, if I'm remembering correctly, this all, I don't have my laptop in front of me, but he had two goals the other night against Columbus.
He did.
He's on fire right now. He's impressive.
He had a hat trick the other day, and he's leading the NHL in points and goals right now. So you can't do much better than that. So, yeah, he had a great rookie year, and then last year was a bit of a down year for him. I think he took a little bit of a step back. I don't know if he thought, wow, this is easy. I'm not a rookie anymore, and next year will be even better because I'm not a rookie anymore. Well, that wasn't the case, and I think it was a reminder to him, or maybe a wake-up call, that, you know what, I'm pro, but nothing's guaranteed. I still have to work hard. I still have to prepare the right way. I still have to do the nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So a big deal was made about how he really dedicated himself in the offseason this year to coming in his best shape of his life. And I think that not only does that help him physically, but I think mentally being focused going into the season, not like, okay, I'm showing up now, now I'll get ready. It's like he was ready to go as soon as camp started, and you can see it. He's playing awesome. And, you know, again, just stay healthy and hopefully he'll continue. But, yeah, he's you know, on the West Coast, it's hard to get a lot of accolades because a lot of people on the East Coast don't see you play. But you put up the numbers he's putting up right now, and there's no way that it doesn't get people's attention. So if he keeps doing what he's doing, really, he could be in the race for the Hart Trophy at the end of the year. He's putting up those kind of numbers right now. It's still 1 month in the season, but he's playing great right now.
Now you finally, you got the other thing that the Kings did recently was they extended Quick, netminder, for what, 3 years, is that correct?
3 year deal, yeah.
Wow, that's it's got to be kind of nice after let's say the Cloutier years.
The Roman Čechmánek,
yeah,
Stefan Fisse. Yeah, there's been some lean years with the Kings and their goaltenders. It's funny how that's happened, and it's also funny that Kings fans didn't know much about Jonathan Quick or expect anything from him.
No.
It was all Jonathan Bernier, the number one pick a couple of years ago. He was the goalie of the future. You know, who knows what his future holds now. He's still really young, but I got to imagine when he and Jonathan Quick came into training camp this year, kind of expecting to battle it out for the number one job. Quick wins it. Bernier goes to Manchester. Now Quick gets this 3 year deal. I'm sure Jonathan Bernier's probably not real optimistic about his future with the team right now. But to the franchise's credit, you know, they're, you know, hey, he's earned the job, you know. And I don't think they've given up on Jonathan Bernier, but Jonathan Quick right now is just better. And this is professional sports. It's a result-oriented business. And no matter what your pedigree is or where you were drafted, if another guy's playing better than you, you got to go with that guy. And so Quick has you know, been pretty impressive so far. He still has a lot to learn, as do a lot of young goaltenders. He's got Ron Hextall to be a sounding board, who's, you know, Kings vice president. So it's, I would say early on, he's doing a good job. I'm not sold that he's a franchise goaltender like we were talking about Marc-Andre Fleury earlier. You know, he went through some struggles. He had to grow into that as well. And now he's become an elite goaltender. So certainly Jonathan Quick has time to try and become that guy. So I'm not expecting him to, you know, be a all-star goalie at this point or anything like that.
But Erzberg's still backing him up?
Erzberg's still backing him up. And apparently they don't want to do a kind of a rotation with Bernier and Quick. They want them to get as much playing time as possible because they're still young goaltenders. They're still learning.
Right.
So some people have asked, why don't you have Bernier as the number two guy? Well, they want him to play. They don't want him to, you know, just be the guy who plays in, you know, the back-to-back situations.
Well, it's easy to look at forwards that come up, and especially with as young of a team as the LA Kings are, you look at some of the forwards they brought up, and, oh, they're doing great. Why can't you bring up a goaltender?
Right.
Traditionally, goaltenders just need more time, and I think it's hard for some fans that don't necessarily pay attention to the minor league system, that don't see that development, to see that how goaltenders develop differently.
Yeah, and they need to play. You know, I mean, even if you're a fourth line forward or something, you get some ice time. But if you're the backup goalie, you may not play for a week. You know, and yeah, you're in practice, you're doing all that, but it's not the same as being in a game situation. So I agree with what they're doing right now. I think that Jonathan Bernier does need to be a every night goalie, if you will, and that he needs to learn as much as he can. And unfortunately for him, I'm sure he's not happy about it, but that means being in the AHL right now.
Yeah. Well, the AHL is, you know, it's still a really solid league, and there's so much good talent out there right now that he's going to see some good shooters. He's going to see some good play out there. And they are still it's still the Manchester Monarchs.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good teams right around there. It's not like the travel's really tough when you live in Manchester. If you're, you know, if you're in the Manitoba game, you know, Moose or whatnot, then maybe you're going to be on the plane a lot more. Or that new, was it Abbotsford?
Yeah. It was funny. My partner on my show, Doug, he came over. And we were playing the NHL 10 game, and we did the random thing where, you know, you just randomly picks two teams. And it was the Carolina Hurricanes against, was it Abbotsford?
Abbotsford Heat, yeah.
And I'm like, who? Who's this? Where are they from? He's like, oh, they're in British Columbia. They're a new team. I had no idea. I'd never heard of them. So, yeah, I just found out about that team. So that's interesting.
Meg and I will do the same thing with when we would play NHL like 2004 or 2000. We go to the random and then we go, okay, we're going to hit the button five times. And then we see who we land on. And then, of course, if we land on the Canucks, the Red Wings, or the Devils, okay, one more. All right, one more. All right, there we go.
Yeah, that's funny. No, but we talk about it on our show about how these video games – actually are very educational. I mean, you learn these minor league players. Mm-hmm. I don't get to see them. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Now he just got called up or whatever, you know, and I know him from the video game. So it actually is kind of educational.
Imagine seeing what it's going to look like with Chris Chelios on the Chicago Wolves in that game.
Be out there with his walker.
Mm. That is pretty funny that, you know, this season was Theo Fleury wanted to – you know, he wanted to be a top two, you know, in the top two lines,
yeah.
And then not getting that at the Flames, of course, he quits. Yeah, there were a few other instances of that sprinkled around. And Chelios was just like, I just want to keep playing.
Yeah.
So I'll go teach some kids in Chicago.
That's where he's from and that's where his family is. So he just doesn't want to quit playing at this point, and he gets to stay home as well for now. So,
well, and you know, think about it. If he gets a chance, I mean, it's the Atlanta farm system. He could go play for the Thrashers. It's not like there's a lot of, you know, this year they're doing a lot better than they have been, but he could get his opportunity to go back.
You know, I don't know. There's a part of me that hates to see these guys just kind of hold on. But at the mm-hmm. same time, I know, and I talked about this on our show, I love playing hockey so much. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine having done it since you were 7, 8 years old and then not doing it anymore. You know,
yeah.
I know he could still go play somewhere just for the fun of it, but it's just, you know, it's not the same. And it is hard. I'm sure it's very hard.
I'm sure it's pretty low pressure away too. I mean, it's not like you're being, you know, put on to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going and playing in the AHL, and that's got to be kind of fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it's a thrill for those guys too to go up against, you know, a guy who's obviously a former Norris Trophy winner and a Stanley Cup winner and future Hall of Famer, you know. Mm-hmm. So that I'm sure it's fun for them too.
Are you looking forward to any big games coming up for the Kings? Or,
you know what, I'm enjoying all of them right now.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't. I watched all the games before on TV and obviously going to some in person. But I'm enjoying all of them right now. They do have a great home schedule. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, Pittsburgh's coming in next week, which is always fun. I think Washington is coming in. So you've got a lot of teams that you don't normally see coming into LA this year. So they've got a good home schedule. So I'll be at that Pittsburgh game next week. I'm going to go see him play Vancouver this week as well. So yeah, they, you know, as long as they keep playing well,
yeah.
It's enjoyable. And I wasn't expecting them to make the playoffs this year. And obviously they haven't made it yet. I'm not, like I said, on my Facebook page, I'm not putting my deposit down for the playoff tickets just yet.
Yeah.
But it's fun seeing the improvement. It's fun knowing that, you know, the steps they're taking are working, and you can just see it. I mean, it's obvious. You can watch the games and see them getting better, and so that's exciting.
And just looking at the standings right now, and especially within the division,
yeah,
you know, it's such a different picture than what we were looking at last year.
Yeah, I mean, things could still change, but when you've got Phoenix and LA on top, I mean, I think San Jose is still going to be heard from. Obviously, they've got a lot of new parts there that are learning how to play together, but they've got a lot of talent. They'll be there in the end. I kind of like seeing the Ducks at the bottom, though.
It's it's not the same. It's not the same Ducks as a couple of years ago. How's that?
Apparently not.
How's that Pronger for Loople trade working out? Huh?
Well, you know what? Philadelphia's not exactly lighting the league on fire right now either.
No.
They're playing okay, but I thought they'd be playing a lot better. So maybe they're kind of learning, getting used to each other as bit as well. But
I was thinking there was going to be a lot more penalty minutes.
Yeah,
I think everybody was expecting a resurgence of the Broad Street Bullies, that we're going to see even with, you know, with the Inland Perrier out there also. Ray Emery, obviously not afraid of scrapping. Mm-hmm. And really haven't seen that.
Not really. We did see the Mike Richards hit this week, which was ugly. But Yeah, I maybe we'll see more of that as, again, maybe they're just learning how to play together right now. It's going to take a little bit more time. But I've been surprised as well that they haven't been a little bit more willing to drop the gloves and kind of intimidate other opponents and stuff like that. You know, they're playing okay right now, but we'll see. I thought they would be another team out east that would really have a great year, but so far, just kind of okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I expected the Bruins to be doing a lot better than they are.
That's true.
Opening night, I remember I was telling my girlfriend Meg and saying, I really like the offense of the Capitals and not much else. I like everything about the Bruins right now. And then eating those words.
Yeah. And Thomas has struggled a little bit, and the injuries are mounting up. And then, of course, they get rid of Kessel. And so that's losing a lot of production. So they're looking, when you've got Savard and Kessel out and now Lucic is hurt, they're missing some parts right now. So that's tough. Injuries are just the one thing that scare me to death, because you have no control over it and they can happen at any time. And
now, there's so many right now.
It's I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that everyone stays relatively healthy. And, there's always, it's such a physically demanding sport that obviously you're going to have injuries. There's no way around it.
Right.
But you just hope it's nothing long term. You can see weeks maybe, but no, you don't want to see months, going to be out for 4 months. Oh no, that's not good. So I'm just, like I said, if the Kings can stay healthy, I think that they have a good chance of making the playoffs. So, and there's been some teams in the past that there have been some years in the past where the Kings just, they could not stay healthy.
No.
To save their life. And you can't, what do you do? There's, they can't get any kind of chemistry going if you've got different guys coming in and out of the lineup. And, it's a tough situation for Boston that's going through right now. St. Louis went through it last year, and somehow they were able to make the playoffs. That was a huge credit to them. But Vancouver is another team right now. It's got the injury bug has really bitten them, and they're struggling because of that as well.
Was it Kyle Wellwood just went out with a broken toe?
I think so. And then Sedin is out.
Sedin.
That's one of the things that you hate to see as a fan is injuries.
Mm-hmm. No, I do too. Watching the other night when Darcy Tucker went out from basically boarding, that was hard to watch. That was a rough one.
Yeah, and I just
I'm not a Darcy Tucker fan. There always seems to be one player that I just don't want on the team, and he's the one right now.
Yeah, he can be unlikable. That's for sure, but.
But he's also been, doing pretty decent scoring lately, and seems to be having a bit of a resurgence. And so, and watching that sort of hit, watching the stretcher come out, we've seen that, I think, just too much so far this season. We're only 10 games in.
Yeah, and it seems like this past week and a half, it's really emerged a lot. That David Booth hit was really scary because of the way his head hit the ice. I think he was probably out cold from the hit before he hit the ice, but, every once in a while, with any contact sport, there's going to be a tragedy here and there. You usually see it at like the minor league level. I always remember, I think it was Travis Roy for Boston University, got paralyzed on his first shift.
Yeah.
You see those things, unfortunately. And it's just, I don't know that there's anything you can do to prevent it. It's a contact sport, and these are big, strong guys going at high speeds. But with these hits to the head, I hope I'm wrong, but I just think, sometime soon, if they don't do something about it or try to do something about it, we're going to see a guy get paralyzed or even worse at the NHL level. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But
you've seen the improvements in equipment, but there's only so much you can do. I know there's the that new Mark Messier helmet,
right?
And it's supposed to help out with concussions. I think their big deal with that is that it's a one piece helmet rather than a two piece. Which we'll see.
But it looks funny. You guys don't want to wear it. There was the same thing in Major League Baseball. They had this new helmet come out, and it's like a little bit oversized, and it is a little odd looking. Mm-hmm. And guys said, "I'm not wearing that. I look like a dork."
We were talking the other day about Jaromir Jagr when he was in the Olympics, and he was wearing one of those crappy Jofa helmets that he always wore, and he got a hit, and I think he went into the boards, and it cut him really good. He was leaking pretty heavy, and immediately turned around and got one of the new Reebok helmets. and said, I don't know why I stuck with that thing. This is so much better.
It's funny. When I first started playing hockey, you get the really cheap equipment. Mm-hmm. And it was always like, I'll upgrade as soon as I take a real good shot off the shins, I'll get me some legitimate shin pads or whatever. So it's funny. Sometimes that's the only way you learn, unfortunately.
Yeah, I look at the evolution of our helmets. It was like the cheap little iTech and then an OK Bauer. And now I've got a Reebok that's like, get a little more protection in there.
Yeah, and that's like, I wear a cage. And mm-hmm. there are times where I think, I'd be like nice to have a visor or whatever. And then I think, you know what? I like my teeth. I think I'm going to keep them for a while.
I'm in the exact same boat. The question I've kind of been asking everybody that's been on that I've had lately on the podcast, we brought up hockey jerseys. What is your favorite hockey jersey that you have?
That I have or that?
That you own right now.
I have a Luke Robitaille jersey from the 80s, mm-hmm. the old silver and black that we had talked about.
Game worn or is it?
No, it's not a game worn, but it's got the fighting strap on it. It's got the A on it and all that kind of stuff. So nice. That's my favorite one right now. I do have, it's funny, you're an Avalanche fan, so I have an Adam Deadmarsh jersey that I went to an event a while back and it's got all these autographs on it. And it's so funny because it wasn't that long ago, not one King player is still on the team. I've got like Ian LaPerriere is on there. Mm-hmm. I loved Lapu when he was here. And I don't know if you were a fan of his when he was in Colorado, but yeah, he's a great guy. So every once in a while I'll pull it out and I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh, not one of these guys is still on the team. But that's pro sports now. Yeah. You don't see guys staying with teams, unfortunately, for long periods of time. But there's a few exceptions here and there, like a Martin Brodeur or somebody like that. But
there used to be kind of that hate between teams. If you were with the Bruins, you did not want to go play for the Rangers. There's an old story about Phil Esposito when he got traded, and was it Don Cherry and Bobby Orr came into his room and he said, "Okay, I know I'm being traded, but if you tell me I'm being traded to the Rangers, I'm jumping out that window." And Cherry said, "Bobby, get the window. Open the window."
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it is. It's. I mean, it's a business, obviously, but on both sides, on the ice and off the ice, and all of it's a business. But now you really see people playing for Team NHL. Anything to stay in the NHL. Go anywhere, do whatever.
We talked about Chris Chelios. Yeah. When he played for the Blackhawks, I think he said he'd never play for Detroit. Well, that didn't really last, did it? Yeah. So, yeah, their loyalties. Yeah. I think there are some players who, ultimately they're going to go where they're going to get paid.
Right. You don't have much of a choice. Yeah. I'm thinking of the sheriff. I can't even think of his name right now. It's just disgusting of me. Scott Parker, who was an Avalanche and got traded away, but he had a Avalanche logo tattooed on him and got traded back. And
that's always a bad idea.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. You mentioned LaPerriere when he was playing for the Avalanche. Joe Sakic, when the scoreboard, Joe Sakic and this player, that player. And Joe Sakic always got the greatest cheer from the fans. Ian LaPerriere got second. He's just a fan favorite.
Good guy, played mm-hmm. hard. And I have a picture with him. I don't know where it is, but I have a picture with him. And it's, his straight on, that nose is unbelievable. It's like one of those curves ahead signs.
And, ooh.
Fortunately, they all get the plastic surgery for free when they retire. I don't know mm-hmm. if you knew that or not.
Really?
Yeah. So Lappy is going to have some doctor is going to say before and after, look what I can do. But when they retire, they all get, it's a part of their, I don't know if it's the pension or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Their it's what they've got in their contract. Once they retire, they get plastic surgery if they want it. And they get the whole dental work taken mm-hmm. care of if they want it. So
he's going to be like the actress from Dirty Dancing. she had the nose job and then didn't look the same and nobody recognized her.
That's
Don't do it, Lappy. Don't do it.
You know what? That would be interesting to see what he would look like. Maybe we'll have to go back to some of his pictures when he was a kid or something to see what he used to look like without that crooked nose. But yeah, I remember I took that picture and then I got it back and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. It's on the side of his face. But no, Lappy's great.
I got a picture with Marty McSorley last year when I was at the Armenian Heritage Night for the LA Kings. And I was amazed at how big he is.
Yeah.
Because he's softened up a little bit. Well, so have I. But
haven't we all?
Yeah. But wow, oh my goodness, he's a big guy. Yeah. You don't really see it, from nowadays it seems like it's all padding half the time. These guys with square off shoulders, they didn't have that kind, as big and tough of padding as even you and I have. And we're buying the cheap stuff.
If you ever get a chance to, I don't know what the situation is for different teams, but the Kings, you can go to their practices and sit there right on the glass and watch them practice. I really encourage people to do that just to see the different sizes of guys and just kind of what they look like up close. But I went to a Kings practice about a month ago, and Michael Hanzus is huge guy. And Oscar Moeller, I don't know if you know who he is. He's one of their prospects. He just recently recalled him. He looks like he's 12, and he's just a tiny little guy. It's just so funny. When you see him on TV, you don't really get to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. When you see him in person, though, you're like, I can't believe how small he is or how big he is or whatever. So
Craig Anderson's kind of the same way, the new Avalanche goalie. Yeah. Anytime I see him with his pads on and his helmet off, it just looks like this tiny little head and this tiny little neck coming out. It's like, what's the rest of you? Yeah. There's nothing there.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, especially goalies, you see them without their gear on. It's quite a difference. So,
well, next year they're changing the goaltending pads to form fit a little more and size more to the goalie rather than a standard measurement. So you won't have tiny goalies hiding behind gigantic pads. I'm wondering what that's going to do to kind of the business of the goaltender. If the smaller goaltenders, the Darren Pang size guys are going to go by the wayside and, because these big guys will cover more space because they're allowed to have those kinds of pads.
Well, they better be quick. They better be able to move. That's how they can, that's how they'll stay in the game. For every Roberto Luongo, who's takes up a lot of the net, maybe you lose something in quickness and, the book on him would maybe side to side, get him to move. And, that's where you get your shots from.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll all be interesting to see.
That classic Roberto Luongo look of, going down, looking to his side and then kind of doing that. Oh, over the top.
Well, he's been doing that a little bit this year. So, yeah. Well, we'll see.
I love the quote by Ron Wilson the other day that about Luongo finding his game. And saying like, if we'd played him a couple weeks ago, we'd have gotten 6 goals on him. Okay. nice try there.
Well, a lot of people are finding their game against Toronto. So, we'll see how the Ducks do tonight.
Oh man. That's, I'm expecting another loss for the Leafs. It's just,
I complained on our show that we're hearing too much talk about the Leafs. They're a bad team and they don't deserve all this attention.
No.
But if they keep doing this and it starts to get, what are the all-time worst starts in NHL history and that type of thing? Because people like watching car wrecks too,
Oh, yeah.
They can't look away. So if it starts to get, if they start to approach some records, then yeah, I couldn't understand why people.
I'm having a great time watching. I know I have a couple of people I know that are Leafs fans. I know that they're dying right now, but it's entertaining. It's definitely entertaining.
Like I was telling you when we were out skating today, did you see what Lee Stempniak did?
Oh.
And I demonstrated for you. He was on a 2-on-1 and he shot on the net and it was literally 10 feet wide of the net. I don't even know how you do that.
Shots on corner don't count.
But that's, you don't dump it in from 20 feet, I don't think. unless that's a new Ron Wilson strategy I'm unaware of, but that's, you can start to see a blooper reel forming for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So not good for those fans.
No, it's not. Yeah. And all that hope. And I always get a little, I don't know, I wouldn't say upset, but I always want to kind of shake the Leafs fans when they get angry about not winning a cup since 1967. And it's, hey, for the Blackhawks, it's been a lot longer and they've had worse situations. So, what do you want?
But they're Toronto.
Right. Yeah. It's that Canadian hockey entitlement kind of thing,
Right.
Which I'm sure you've got to get tired of, being in California, being a rabid hockey fan. I mean, yeah. It's you really have to. It's easy to be a football or baseball fan here,
right?
Or basketball fan, but it can't be easy to be a hockey fan here.
Sometimes it isn't. That was the whole reason why we started our podcast. We just got so fed up with the complete, I don't even know. I won't even say lack of attention. They just ignore it almost locally. In the newspapers, in the local TV, radio, it's barely mentioned. Especially when the Lakers start playing, then you can forget about it, because it's all Lakers all the time, which is, for a guy who doesn't like the NBA, So we decided, we're going to do our part. We're going to start up our podcast, and hopefully that will help people who are in similar situations as we are. Just fed up with that we don't have a show that we can listen to that just talks about hockey and doesn't talk about anything else. And there are some other decent options out there now. I have the XM radio, and you can listen to the NHL Home Ice channel. And thankfully we have the NHL Network for people, so those are nice.
Yeah.
It helps out a lot. But
I was in Calgary recently, and I was amazed. We're in the off season, and there's still hockey everywhere. They lead with hockey. The top tens are, top 10 plays are sometimes hockey, here's the top 10, shots from the point last season.
I've only been to Canada once, but it was a few years ago. I went to Vancouver and we went to a sports bar, and it was during the off season, and it was the juniors, World Junior Championships were going on. We went into the sports bar. Every TV in the sports bar was tuned in to this game. And it wasn't even – it was like Russia against Sweden or something. It wasn't even –
Canada
wasn't even involved. And we walked in there, and my friend Doug was with me, and we just like, where are we? this is so amazing. Weird. I don't know what to do. We liked it, though. It was very cool. So, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it's now the Kings, they hired, was it Rich Hammond,
right?
To basically be an in-house beat writer. That's an interesting tactic.
I think it was a great move, because he had a blog for the LA Daily News that was required reading for all Kings fans. If you were a Kings fan, you had that bookmark on your computer and you read it every day, because he had great information. And he's not a columnist; it's not his opinion, although he would answer questions. But, and I guess any human being is going to have their own personal, biases and views. But by and large, it's just all fact. Right. It's just all giving you information.
Just the straight beat reporter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was just great information. And the Kings, I'm sure, thought, okay, the LA Times really isn't giving us any coverage. And the Daily News really isn't either. They've got this guy online that does a cool thing. But why don't we hire him? We'll bring him to our website. All those people, those thousands and thousands of people that went to his website every day, will now go to our website every day and get to also, while they're here, we can see, they're having this ticket promotion, and there's a cool video of, there's the making of the LA Kings commercial that we're seeing and stuff like that. So I think it was a really smart move on their part, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more teams do it in the future. And, I recently did an interview asking about the future of podcasting in the NHL. And I think teams are going to finally say, okay, local TV, you don't want to cover us. Local newspaper, you don't want to cover us. Local radio station, you don't want to cover us. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And we'll have our own podcast, and we'll have our own video TV shows, and we'll have our own reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there's no clear bias as far as the reporting goes, I think fans will eat it up. I think it's a good idea.
I guess we'll have to see. I was pretty skeptical at first. I mean, the biggest part for me of my skepticism came from when the Kings were saying, we want to be your one-stop shop. And I don't think there's a such thing as a one-stop shop, nor should there be. I think that's why blogs and podcasts are as important these days.
Yeah.
In Denver, for instance, we have one paper. Mm-hmm. And, they aren't our one-stop shop. They can't be.
Yeah.
So. I think it's going to be interesting. It's turning in. It looked like a wacky experiment at first, and it seems to be really, with Rich Hammond gaining some ground, and
I think it's a good idea. But I do understand your point and agree with it, that fans will always keep these people honest, because with podcasting and blogging, there's always going to be that outlet to, if there's something that the team needs to be taken to task over. There's always going to be those places where someone's going to hold them accountable. So yeah, that'll always be there because the fans are always going to have the passion and they're going to care. Yeah. And they're always going to be kind of the watchdog, I guess, for lack of a better term. So that they'll always be, I think with podcasting and blogging, I think it'll always be a fan driven thing first, but I think there is a place for it too with teams that can utilize it and have it work for them, you know,
mm-hmm.
get the attention that they deserve.
I think, you know, if there was ever a team that was going to try it and probably succeed at it, it's the Kings. They seem just about open to everything. So,
well, yeah. You know what? The NHL has certainly has its shortcomings as when it comes to marketing and doing things to promote the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly welcome any new ideas or any different things, ways of doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, at least try. And maybe it doesn't work, but at least try and be different and do different things. And you know, there's nothing wrong with doing things to try and bring attention to yourself. It's better than just doing business as usual.
Yeah.
And,
you know, as long as it keeps you out of jail, you can always say no later.
Well, you know, if it's a short jail sentence, then, you know.
I want to come to one of your parties. So that's the case. Well, Eddie, thanks a lot for thanks for skating with me today.
My pleasure.
For doing this. The Puck Podcast, www.puckpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. You're on Facebook.
Yes.
Yes. And you have links to your fan page. I'll put them on my site as well. Also, I noticed just the other day that you put up kind of a calling out to SoCal hockey players for a Puck Podcast game. Have you had much response yet? Or
you know, not really.
You just put it up.
Right? It's been a little disappointing. I think we've had more response from people around the country
that wish
that want to come out and do it. You know, but yeah. You know, there's still time. And I'm gonna unlike what I did before, where I threw the idea out there and then I never brought it up again. I'm gonna keep bringing it up every week for a while until we finally figure out if people want to do it or not. But mm-hmm. I'm hopeful. I mean, it's not going to take, you know, it's only taking 15 guys, you know, there's yeah. going to be 15 guys who play hockey and listen to the show that would like to come out and play hockey. So,
so if you're in California and you want to do it, please let them know. And if you're somewhere else and can't quit telling him.
Puckpodcast@AOL.com is the email address.
Awesome. Eddie, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That does it for episode 51 of The Rink. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can find links to whatever we talked about here, including Eddie's podcast, the very excellent Puck Podcast. You can always call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. And you can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.